Hello and welcome to the show. To our subscribers, welcome back. To any first-time listeners, The Plant is a podcast centered all around industrial automation. We've now finished our mini-series on digital transformation, and the feedback has been great. We're glad that everyone seemed to enjoy the step-by-step dive we did to look at the different parts of industry that are affected in the quest for digital transformation. Today's show focuses on mobility in industrial settings and the untethered visualization and productivity that seems to be taking hold of so many in the production space. Our hardware partner, Pepperell and Fuchs, has made a big step in this area, and we are excited to get to address it. A reminder to all that we love hearing from you. Thoughts, comments, and questions are all welcome. Navigate online to thinmanager.com/podcast to get a hold of us. We're available on both Apple Podcasts as well as Spotify Podcasts, both free to subscribe. Subscribers get notified of new episodes whenever they get released. Enjoy. Well, hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of The Plant. We're happy to have you join us. It's been a little while, so let's jump into it. We got some great guests today. With me always is Tom Jordan.
Good afternoon. Good morning.
We've actually lined up a really cool show. So our last show, we talked with a couple guys from our own internal hardware team about kind of hardware and digital transformation, all that stuff. And this episode's really cool. We've lined up a couple of our partners, or two guys from one of our partner companies, Pepperell and Fuchs, to come talk with us a little bit, not only about hardware, but really about mobility and hardware and industrial hardware. And we'll give you just a little bit of background on this, because Tom and I work for the Thin Manager business unit, which is owned by Rockwell Automation. And Thin Manager is visualization software that really manages hardware users, visualization software, kind of centralized content and application delivery. And Pepperell and Fuchs has released a couple of tablets that are Thin Manager ready, which basically they have no operating system other than the BIOS and really everything looking for your Thin Manager configuration. So that makes this really exciting to bring the guys from PNF on. And we're excited to talk about hardware from a little bit different standpoint and talk about mobility.
Indeed. Looking forward to it. And you know, Brian, being a longtime Thin Manager person here, maybe one of the longest in the business unit right now, this is something we've been talking about, dreaming about, and designing and putting together for years now. So this is not a new idea. Thin Manager Ready has always been the go-to way we deliver our technology to market. And now that that technology is on a tablet in a mobile format, personally, I am as excited as I've been in the whole 25 years I've been working on the product. This is really good.
Yeah, it's really cool. I think, you know, mobility, when you talk about tablets and stuff, I mean, the iPads, Android tablets, they've been around for a while now. And we've always have and still have applications that can be installed natively on those to allow you to extend your visualization to mobile tablets and be able to do different things with them. But there's always been the underlying operating system to manage, to update, to worry about, to lock down, to join to a network. Just as anybody knows, there's a lot to manage when you're talking about an application within an operating system.
That's right. And you know, there's more than one kind of tablet out there. And each one can be managed in its own way with its own tools, right?
There's like 300-400 different tablets out there. Yeah.
So, you know, for the Thin Manager user, this is a promise of, and it's just the beginning, but this is the promise of, again, using the Thin Manager GUI, the Thin Manager Wonder Tool, to configure and deploy your devices and the content and the users that go with those devices. So, you know, that's what we bring to market, is an easier way to do something. And that's what we plan to do here with these tablets.
Yeah, I think a lot of manufacturers and just industry in general is moving more and more to, I guess, that love affair of mobility or the desire to be able to walk around and do your work and maybe switch, you know, we talk about user mobility, switching from place to place and logging in and authenticating, but the tablet, you know, is just like a whole new step. Now you're just worrying about making sure things are charged and making sure they don't get, you know, beat up too hard. But that's another thing we'll talk to about them is like the industrial grade and the like how they make these things so that if they do get dropped, you know, it's not like an old phone on a, you know, a tile floor that smashes instantly or anything.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, another thing that that brings all this to fruition or helps bring it to fruition is the fact that networking is finally caught up. You know, wireless networking is now a very robust, easy to deploy, easy to secure form of communication on the across the network. You know, in the early days, it was pretty much slow and hard to secure. We got where we could lock it down, but it was still a little bit slower. Now we have speed and reliability and security on the wireless networks. And so it's time. It's time for Thin Manager Ready tablets.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. Well, you know, before we bring on the guys from PNF, I did look up a couple interesting facts as I've been doing, you know, our this day in history and tech history. And the ones that stood out to me is in 1991, this day in 1991, Sun Systems started working on what's today known as Java. They codenamed it in secret. They called it Oak. And they started this secret project that, you know, basically turned into Java, which has really paved the way to a lot of other coding languages and still exists today. And I just think that's really cool. So the other thing I found is that in 1992, we saw for the first time Windows 3.1.
Oh, wow. That is something right there. I remember Windows 3.1.
So that would have been, what, 92? So that's 33 years ago. God, time flies.
It does. But, you know, Thin Manager's been around for, again, almost 26 of those years now. And, you know, some people will say, how old is an old technology? I say, well, we're still using the Windows operating system, and we're not older than that. So
Well, the picture they show is that, you know, 3.5-inch floppy disk that I think everybody remembers so fondly, the 5 1/4 to the 3.5. When those first came out, it was like, wow, man, these are so small. They're so, so cool and techy compared to the 5 1/4. Oh, my gosh. Okay.
Yeah, and we immediately outgrew them.
Yes, yes. And I'm dating myself very quickly. All right. Well, let me see if I can get the guys from Pepperell and Fuchs on the line and see if we can get this conversation started.
Let's do it.
All right. Hold on. Well, no, I really do appreciate you guys coming on. And before we brought you on, Tom and I were talking about kind of how excited we are really to get a chance to talk to you guys, but, to, you know, to one of our hardware partners. And then we kind of brought up the new Thin Manager Ready tablet. So I want to touch about that. But I mean, I guess before we get going, doesn't really matter who goes first. So I'll just say, Talon, you can go first. You know, tell us a little bit about you, how you got in with Pepperell and Fuchs and kind of, you know, where you are, who you are.
Yeah, sure. So Talon Petty is the name. I work for PNF within the Enterprise Mobility Division. So I started at PNF actually in 2019, man, just right before the onset of the pandemic when everything got crazy. But I'm on the key accounts development side. So I'm more of in a sales function for some of our kind of major key accounts. And, you know, how we ended up here with Rockwell was through sort of a history of partnership and everything. And we do that with a lot of the major DCS companies. And then you would know better than I, but when Rockwell acquired Thin Manager and the market has sort of evolved, we sort of saw this opening and this potential for, you know, the connected worker and mobilizing a lot of the traditionally sort of fixed asset.
Very cool. Okay. Well, Ryan, tell us a little bit about you. How do you differ from Talon? No, I'm just kidding. But no, what do you do at PNF? Tell us a little about you.
Yep. So I've been with Pepperell and Fuchs since 2003, and I've worn different hats about every 4 or 5 years. I change roles. And currently, I am the product manager for the Americas for our enterprise mobility products. So I give input back to our business unit that sits in Germany about products and product needs for the Americas, North and South. I also have a background and am still active in hazardous area standards requirements and sit on various national and international standards committees for various protection concepts to get products into hazardous areas.
All right. So. Yeah. You must know a thing or two.
You sound more qualified than Tal.
Yeah, whenever you said something about the difference between us two, he's smarter.
That's awesome.
Well, let's see. I guess to get started, we can kind of jump into the mobility thing. I do have some questions for you guys. And, you know, we've noticed like this growth in mobility, when you talk about devices and people getting into tablets and really smartphones as well. But, you know, I'm curious, I guess, if you guys have seen the same thing, knowing that you do, you know, a kind of a plethora of hardware, but also globally, I'm curious if it's one area's, I guess, adopting faster than others or anything like that. And I don't know who this question's geared at, so you guys might have to kind of choose that one. But I am curious about that.
Well, we probably both have some input from slightly different perspectives, right? I mean, from the sales role, and again, prior to coming to PNF, I was with the standards body Fieldcom Group, right? So they manage the Heart and Foundation Field Best Standards, right? These are sort of the main standards that run all the process industries across the globe, whether you know you're in Asia or the U.S. or South America. They all kind of run on these standards, and so I've at least been in the industry and seen how traditionally a plant and refining and how the processes and how people run those sort of systems work, and you know, enterprise mobility and mobility at large is kind of a cooler, hipper tech, right? That we all just think of, you know, getting on Facebook or watching YouTube videos for, and not necessarily as a industrial tool. I mean, so from my perspective, just sort of growing up through all this is that the industry is certainly slower than most, right? We're not the early adopters, and for a lot of good reasons, as you guys are well aware of with the process industries, right? You want something tried and true and reliable and stable. Right? If these things go down or cause a system disruption, we're talking about millions of dollars a day or an hour, it can get pretty dramatic, right? So you need that level of robustness. It's not your typical IT sale whenever you're having a blip with your laptop that you just reset it. So for me, you know, it all is a cautious forward motion, and some suppliers are better than others. Some users are better than others in terms of adopting that technology and embracing it sooner than others. But I'll say it this way. I think PNF looks at this as absolutely a growth market with long, long way ahead for continued expansion.
So do you guys see the mobile workforce, the people that will be using these devices, do you see that as a new workforce, or is this an extension of the existing workforce, that we're taking the existing workforce mobile versus creating a new workforce that's a mobile workforce?
I would say it's probably a combination.
Okay.
You're certainly going to have the existing workforce moving towards a more digitally enhanced. So a lot of the places that we're seeing it is what used to be done with paper and clipboard is now being done on a tablet and all done electronically. So that aspect is just more convenient because ultimately they used to have to go, you know, long ago it was all in paper and then it went to file. And then it moved to, you still had to do it in paper, but we wanted it electronically. So you got to go back to an office somewhere and enter it in. And now they're working towards getting rid of that middle step and making it all electronic and making it more online and in the cloud and that kind of stuff. So it's, I'd say, a mix because you're going to have some level of retraining on the existing people that are already there, but you're also going to add new roles within an organization to support this that didn't exist in the past, right? So it's a combination of the actual frontline worker needing to get trained or up to speed on how these new tools are going to be used, no different than anything else. And those that fight it might find themselves without a job. But that's just the nature of progress, right? I mean, if the guy that was putting horses, shoes on a horse, didn't figure out a way to put tires on a car, he soon was out of a job. So it's just the nature of it. And there's other infrastructure and things behind the scenes as well that I think is coming. And it, like Talon said, it's going to be something that's going to be adopted more and more as the systems and infrastructure become more and more available to companies as they build it out. So,
well, and that brings up an interesting question about infrastructure. Do you guys see as a trend that mobility is starting inside a building, or is it starting across larger geographies, like outdoor chemical plants and things like that? Where do you see the trend starting?
I mean, I would say that the trend for connectivity has been there for quite a while, and just how people realize that will depend on, you know, where they're at and, you know, whether they're in a building or outside of a building, what kind of connectivity that they can offer. We've seen companies work very closely with cellular providers, so the cellular service is well managed in a site. We've seen companies do their own kind of Wi-Fi network with Wi-Fi repeaters all over the place. And we're starting to see more and more people adopt private 5G and 4G networks so that you get the benefit of the coverage and security of the network, but you also get the benefit of being able to manage how that data traffic is handled, because it's your network. It's not, you're sharing it with everybody else that happens to be on a carrier, which then brings in some additional benefits as well. I would say whatever you saw 5 years ago, 5 years from now will be completely different, and people will have gone into different directions and do different things. But my perspective will be the 4G and 5G private networks will become more and more prevalent.
That's interesting. That's interesting. I think it probably varies, you know, kind of widely from industry to industry too. I'm sure there's some companies and industries that are much slower to adopt new technology, and others that are looking to do it, you know, at light speed if they can, or at least as light speed as they can, I should say. I mean, like you said, it's,
this is where these technologies kind of, you know, what's your need, right? What are your requirements? So absolutely industry is different, right? If you're a giant Exxon Mobil refining facility, right? You're on, I don't know how many acres, right? You're maybe measuring in square miles the size of your facility. So something like a 5G setup can cover the whole facility with a single antenna or a couple at most, right? But now try to scale that with Wi-Fi and all the routers you'd have to place, right? It quickly kind of starts not making much sense. Whereas if you're, you know, making mayonnaise in a clean facility in a warehouse, you know, it's not going to be nearly that size. And you could probably get away with a Wi-Fi network that's less expensive. And then, of course, even our enterprise mobility division, right, our sort of claim to fame or of bread and butter is the Haslock area stuff. So a lot of what we see anyway is going to be more sort of industrial in nature and hazardous area, you know, elements to it that they require in order to operate in sort of a digital environment.
Yeah, I'm curious, and I guess this falls more into Ryan's expertise, but, you know, I would love maybe an elementary level explanation of Haslock and what we're talking about when we start talking about industrial grade things and what's required as the conditions become more and more harsh when it comes to the hardware.
Sure. So kind of as a very rudimentary explanation. So anytime that you have a situation where you're working with flammable or combustible materials, depending on a number of factors, the areas that you're working with that material may end up getting classified as a hazardous area or a classified area. And it depends where in the world you're at, how that gets done, what the rules are and that kind of stuff. But if we focus here in the U.S., largely they're going to be classified under the class division system, where you're going to have three different classes, class one, class two, class three, which is just a general, very high level classification of the state of the hazardous material. So class one would be a gas or a vapor, a class two would be a dust, and a class three would be a fiber or flying. And then you've got the level of risk associated with that. Division one means that there's a level of risk as a normal course of business. And a division two would be in a situation where you have some kind of a fault or a failure. Now you have an area that would be hazardous. That would be division two. So to kind of make it a little bit more understandable for you, if you put gas in your car today, you were standing in a division two area because the area around a fuel pump is division two. Normally not a problem, but if something went wrong with the fuel pump, then you'd be standing in a pile of gas fumes, which would be a problem.
Indeed, that would be a problem. So, yeah.
That would be a problem. So thankfully, normally the gas pumps operate like they're supposed to, but I'm sure we can go on YouTube and find some videos where they didn't, which is why that area is classified as Division 2. And so you can find these areas in all kinds of different situations. Obviously, anything to do with petrochemical would be having hazardous areas, but you can find it in pharmaceutical. You can find it in food and beverage. You can find it in some medical stuff and pharmaceutical stuff. You can find it in water and wastewater. You can find it in paper mills. You can find it in a wide variety of ranges of places where they're using solvents or because of what they're making, the material itself has flammable or combustible properties and stuff. And so there's lots of different industries that have these challenges or risks. And, you know, historically the fixed equipment was obvious that it needed to be appropriately certified, and the laws are very clear that that's what you need to do. What becomes a little less clear is the mobile devices, because it's not part of our electric code, because I'm not wiring it into the grid, but I still have the requirement from OSHA to make sure that I'm protecting my workforce. And so properly providing them with proper PPE, proper training, and then for these handheld devices, the mobility devices, making sure that those devices are appropriate for the areas that they're going into is just part of your overall safety for equipment and people operating in those areas.
So Ryan, this gives us a good segue into talking about the two tablet models that have been enabled for Thin Manager Ready tablets. That's the Tab IND and the Pad EX. Can you describe very briefly which one you would choose in these particular environments, which one fits in which environment?
Sure. So the Tab INDs are going to be our standard ordinary location only devices. So these would be used in the areas where you don't have any kind of risk. The area hasn't been classified as a hazard. So think like an office or just a standard warehouse, those kinds of places. The PAD EX is our class one division two certified product. So this would be something that you'd want to take into these areas that potentially could be hazardous if something went awry. And most plants, if they're working with solvents or flammable materials, try to minimize their division one areas just because it provides a much larger overhead for them to operate in. And so lots of places try to minimize those areas. And so usually where people are at and we would be needing to interface to a tablet or something like that, are typically going to be division two environments. So our PAD EX would be the appropriate device for that.
So my next question then, being mobile tablets, how does an IT staff or an OT staff for that matter prevent the wrong tablet from getting in the wrong area? Is there an easy way to do that?
Training. It's kind of a trick question.
The right statement is not an IT person, right? It would be more of an administrative control done by an engineer or something.
Right. No, and it's a bit of a trick question. I'm a little bit leading there for Thin Manager and the promise of what Thin Manager may bring to the table eventually, because that's where the software side of the equation comes in, right? If we understand where a device that we're managing is located, and we can constrain that device with other technologies, say Bluetooth beacon Perfect. Codes or things like that, then we can restrict where a tablet would be operating, or at least send warnings to people on their tablets, say, hey, you're wandering very close to an area that your tablet's not, you know, made for, or something like that.
Certainly could do Bluetooth beaconing or geofencing and that kind of stuff. And, you know, another, to kind of go back to your comment, how would an IT or OT individual manage this? I would say the one thing that the IT or OT department would need to make sure that they understand is that their facility has these areas, and they need to work with their health and safety directors and stuff to make sure that they're specifying the appropriate equipment to go into those areas, recognizing that what they might have in one part of the plant isn't certified to go into the other part of the plant. And so they have to be aware that they have these different areas, and they can't just say, well, this is the device that we're going to use across the whole plant, because it may not work from a safety perspective. And so this is where the health and safety people and other people at a facility need to communicate this with IT, with OT, with operators, with other people. And it really needs to become a company-wide knowledge that, hey, we have these areas. This is how we're dealing with it. These are the devices that we can use in these areas, and work together as a team so that you don't have IT specifying equipment all by themselves without knowledge of that the greater impact. And it might be the type of thing where 98% of what they spec is perfectly fine, but they need another 2% that can go into these hazardous areas. And so they just need to be aware of that, because it could be potentially a relatively small portion of their overall portfolio of things that they're managing.
That's right. And that's one of the points we want to make. You know, mobility requires new ways of doing things. For instance, these devices have to be charged, right? And if you're running two or three shifts a day, when do you charge them? You know, these are challenges that our customers are going to be dealing with, your customers and our customers, right? And that's why we're doing the podcast today, to just kind of shed some light on mobility coming into the industrial space in such a big way. But it also brings, like any other new technology, it brings the new challenges and the new ways of doing work. And one of the things that we've always said at Thin Manager here, to be successful in the modern industrial world, OT and IT have to work together. And this is a case in point that you can't ignore it. OT and IT have to work together on mobility. They can't do it separately.
Exactly right.
Right.
I'll tell you what, too, a perfect example there. You had to have made Ryan's heart sing. I think he must have been downplaying his emotions or something there, because this whole concept of, you know, being able to enable and disable tablets, give warnings about, you know, the areas and all that. He lives and breathes this stuff. I mean, that's what a great application of the technology.
Indeed.
Yeah, I think, you know, as Ryan was talking about, I was thinking some of this, you got IT, OT, and then you have like whoever's in charge of safety. Like if the safety goggles go on, you probably need a div two at least, or a div one, you know. So it probably does expand the safety equipment PPE conversation as to when you would grab a bit more hefty industrial tablet as opposed to the other. I did want to ask you guys a little bit about PNF in general. You'd mentioned, you know, that the Hazlock and industrial stuff is your bread and butter. And I know, you know, PNF is a global company. How long has PNF been around? And where, like, I guess, how did it become such a industrial hardware supplier and not other industries, I guess, or other verticals, and really became that industrial bread and butter?
Sure. So the company started back in 1945, I believe, as a radio repair shop. And I think just kind of through a series of maybe fortunate events, they got into making inductive sensors. I think they were one of the first companies to make inductive sensors. And then it just kind of grew from there. So largely they were involved in factory automation, and then shortly, not too long after
They came together. They were one of the first people to do intrinsic safety barriers as well. And so the company has a long history of just being involved in factory automation and in process automation, kind of two divisions or two main areas of the company for decades and decades, and have been very involved in that whole realm. So we've got, you know, all of the most of the major business unit aspects of the company sit in Germany. It's a German company, but we are a global company. So we have headquarters in Asia. We've got headquarters here in the U.S., production facilities, several production facilities around the world, like 80 or so sales offices sprinkled around the globe. So we are pretty much everywhere and very involved in the industry itself. Like I said, I sit on standards committees for the hazardous area, but there's other people within the company that sit on various standards and committees and stuff that have to do with different protocols and different things that are used in the factory automation and process automation world. So we're very involved with it. And we spend a lot of money researching and developing new products annually as well. So,
well, it's, you know, it's amazing because just, you know, based on the dates that you said, you know, 80 years in business. And I think it shows, it shows the ability to pivot and to grow and kind of change, especially as for companies that started out before everything was digital and before cloud infrastructures and networks and all that kind of stuff, to see how a company kind of adapts and grows and changes and is able to pivot to strengthen, grow, you know, all that kind of stuff. I think it says a lot about a company. So I think that's really cool.
It is. And we're glad our customers get to finally hear this too, because that's the thing, you know, we don't make hardware here at Thin Manager. We make software and we partner with hardware companies. And so I hope that our listeners today can have a sense of confidence that this history that PNF has and the history that Thin Manager has are now coming together to take us into a new area of mobility in the industrial workplace. And that's a thin client mobile tablet. This is the world's first industrial thin client mobile tablet, as far as we know. And we're happy that PNF is the partner that brought this to market.
Yeah, it sounds cool. Well, yeah, I will say, you know, just for the listeners, before we end the conversation, for anybody who wants to learn more about these tablets, on the Thin Manager side, you can go to thinmanager.com/hardware, and we've got links to the PNF site as well as some downloads and stuff like that. But I will let, you know, maybe Talon, you're more focused on the sales side. How would people from a PNF side or standpoint get to learn more about these tablets and the rest of the hardware portfolio that you guys offer?
Sure. There's a couple of ways, and perhaps for kind of your listener and your audience, the easiest route to kind of get a streamlined interface of everything that we sort of partner with not just Thin Manager, but Rockwell at large, would be to go to rockwell.pepperell-fuchs.com. That is a great partner website that we established alongside with you guys that sort of talks about our partnership collectively and all of the things that we do to support each other. And that's not just in the enterprise mobility division, right? That's in our factory automation division, our process automation division. There's a whole sort of history behind there. And within that page, there's links out to specifically this Thin Manager tablet stuff in the various options we have. Again, just to sort of reiterate the tab INDs for sort of the general ordinary areas and the paddocks for the hazardous ones. But that's probably where I'd point folks to run from there. And then if you share details or anything like that with the audience at the end, I'd be more than happy to let those folks reach out to me with questions.
Fantastic.
Well, guys, I can't thank you enough for you know, talking with us and telling us about not only yourselves, but the company and the devices and really just continuing to partner and continuing to put great products out and team up. And yeah, thanks a lot for coming on today.
My pleasure.
Thanks for having us. This is a very exciting time. We're seeing a wild amount of interest. So you guys, it's a testament to you and your whole team and everything that the manager has built. The amount of interest and excitement around it has been incredible.
Wow, we'd love to hear it.
Thanks, gentlemen. We appreciate your time.
Well, Tom, I think we got exactly what we were looking for out of that conversation. Those guys were pretty right on point with just about everything we asked.
Indeed. And it's great to have conversation again with partners outside of our main organization, right? This is one of the things that Thin Manager's always been known for working with the masses, right? We have partners all over the world with many different companies. And again, P&F, Pepperell & Fuchs coming on board. We appreciate Tal and Ryan's time.
Yeah, I really appreciate kind of the level of excitement they seem to have in it. And I was really, I guess, pleased that Ryan gave an easy explanation of all the HasLoc, all the, you know, the different environments and what each thing meant. I think a lot of times when we get into the industrial talk, that's one of the things that people forget is that a lot of our listeners don't exactly understand that information. And it's nice to kind of take a step back and get that elementary explanation.
Yeah. No, absolutely, man. That's why we partner, right? It's impossible to be an expert on everything. And so I hope our listeners understand that this is why we partner, right? And if there's a place where we don't have expertise in the Thin Manager realm, that's where we seek partners, either from a hardware or software perspective, to find that expertise. And in this case, the class one Div 2 type of harsh environment, HasLoc environment type of scenarios are covered by this partner's mobile hardware. So again, we're just thrilled to have this conversation today with Ryan and Talon. But we're really more thrilled about what's going to come from this, right? This is a tablet that we've been waiting for a while. The technology's been there, but now everything else is catching up. And again, I think I said this at the beginning, it's time for the Thin Manager Ready tablet.
Yeah. No, and I mean, I love the idea that if one of these things gets stolen or broken or misplaced, just that you lose nothing. It's all centrally managed back and centralized content delivery. And that's what it's all about.
That's right. And again, our customers, from the Thin Manager perspective, this is managing something with Thin Manager. And anybody who uses Thin Manager knows that we like to give you an easy button. So if you need an easy button for your mobile tablets and you need industrial grade mobile tablets, we have a partner, we have a tablet, we have a technology for you.
Yeah. So but before we close this out, I did want to recap for the listeners. If you're interested to learn more about Pepperell & Fuchs or the Thin Manager Ready tablets that they've recently released, you can go to pepperell-fuchs.com. And obviously you can search Pepperell & Fuchs and come up with that easily enough too. I also wanted to reiterate who we were talking to there. That was Talon Petty and Ryan Brownlee. And Talon did say at the end of that show that if anybody needed information, that he would be willing to take those phone calls.
He did say that.
So I'm going to give you his phone number. It's area code 346-387-9657. And listeners, feel free to blow up that telephone line. Let's see if we can get Talon a bunch of calls and see if he can give out a bunch of information about these tablets.
Indeed.
So, all right. Well, thank you everybody for tuning in, and we will talk to you next time.
See you next time.
The Plant Podcast is produced by the Thin Manager product team. Thin Manager is a Rockwell Automation technology. The opinions and statements made as part of this podcast are not necessarily those of Rockwell Automation. Listeners should not rely on or recommend any content as advice, guidance, or instruction. The Plant Podcast is strictly for the entertainment of our listeners.